Episode 182, Get Ready for Pesach with Meira Spivak. Welcome to How to Glow, where we get real about building the marriage of your dreams. I'm certified coach Kayla Levin, and I help married Jewish women go from surviving and overwhelmed to thriving and connected through practical tips, real life inspiration, and more than a little self-awareness along the way. Hello, my friends. We are in the final days getting ready for Pesach, which I have to say, I love Pesach. I really do. And I'm so excited for it. And I know we're all going to get there. So this episode is coming out. I wanted to give you kind of this, I don't want to say last minute boost. It's not quite last minute yet, but you know, home stretch boost. And who better to talk about it than Meira Spivak, who wrote the book, How to Make Pesach in 5 Days. So I thought this would be really perfect. Really, whether you have a whole system or you have no system, whether you're really, really on the ball or you feel like you're behind, I know that for me around this time, no matter how much I plan, how much I feel like, even if I check every box off my list, there will always be that little niggling voice being like, maybe you should have done this a little bit sooner. Like, even if I know it's coming and I plan for it and I'm trying, you know, like I'm not going to do that this year. There's always that little, like, maybe we're behind. It's almost as if it becomes contagious, like this energy of we need to hurry or we're behind or something like that. So maybe just as much for me as it is for you. I hope this episode will really show you that when we're really clear on how we're using our time, then Pesach doesn't have to stretch from Hanukkah, you know, until Seder night. It does not have to. And if you're a fan of the planning versus execution concept, you're going to see that this fits in really, really, really beautifully. So enjoy the interview. If you are wanting to apply any of this, get focused on the time management piece, especially the planning versus execution. This is something that we focus on a lot inside of How to Glow. And I will tell you that things like getting ready for Pesach, things like getting ready for Shabbos can go so much more smoothly and there can be so much more positivity in your life. So if this is a pain point for you, I want to encourage you to get inside of How to Glow like today. Just go to kaylalevin.com/coaching. You can join us on the next call. You can start submitting your questions. You can watch my time management class literally within moments of joining our community and our amazing, amazing online program. It's super reasonable. It's $49 a month. There's really no reason not to do it. Be a nice little afikoman present for yourself. All right. Enjoy the interview and have an amazing, amazing Pesach. Meira Spivak, thank you so much for coming onto the How to Glow podcast and talking to us a little bit about how to hopefully at this point that this is coming out, being published, not have a complete meltdown that Pesach is around the corner.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you so much for being here. I'm excited to share.
Can you tell us, I think that your whole, like all the things that you do are so fascinating. Do you mind just like briefly giving us a feel for all the things that Meira Spivak does in her life?
I can try. I am a little bit of a random person. Like sometimes Great. Someone will see me and I'm like, wait, why do you do this? I'm like, whatever. But I live in Portland, Oregon. So full time, I work for NTSY. My husband and I are involved in Kira over here. So definitely a different life. We're both from New York. If that puts things in perspective in terms of the culture shock. But we've been here for really over almost 17 years now. So really love it. Love the people, the place. It's very rewarding. So we're glad we're here. So, you know, again,
it's so gorgeous. Portland.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
My husband hardcore tried to push us to move to Portland, Oregon.
Really?
Right in the beginning of our marriage, he was like, I really, really want to live there. It's so beautiful. He's like a hiker and a camper type guy. Yeah.
Well, if you're interested, we're definitely looking for people. So, you know, let us know. I mean, it's good. I do really a lot of different things I'm doing. I do a number of different professional development workshops, business coaching. I'm now helping women to get actually paid fairly in their job for women who feel like they're not really getting adequately the salary that they deserve. So doing some coaching around that. So that's fun because it's definitely a topic that's passionate. One of my passions. Yeah. I'm really passionate about that. Yeah. So making your workplace and your work environment healthier and a place you want to be, a place where you feel safe, where you can speak up, where the people care about you and they value your opinions and, you know, just providing that context for people. So a lot of the workshops that I'm running, and primarily with nonprofits, are around that space. So it's really fascinating. I love it. But, you know, it's funny. I was like, oh, so this, you have this book, and I am just random. I really am random.
Well, you know? At the same time, though, it kind of makes sense because somebody who's busy with so many different projects, the book, by the way, let's just make sure everyone knows, is, and I'm holding it up for those who are watching the video, it's called How to Make Pesach in 5 Days. I got this last year, like 7 days before Pesach, probably.
You're fine.
No,
you're
it was
fine.
A couple weeks, actually. It was a couple weeks. And I just have to say, this very rarely happens. I sat down and I read it, I think, in an entire sitting, like, you know, kids' toys flying past me on the couch. It was so fun to read. It's, you know, it's not too much, but also it was just an enjoyable read. So I like almost didn't even need to use the material. I kind of just really enjoyed reading it and then picked and, you know, whatever. I'm the type that, like, I'll read 10 recipes and then be like, okay, I basically get the idea, and then cook something on my own. I feel like that's kind of how I use this. So I was like, let me read it. And then it was very easy to sort of make it fit into my life, because you're not being didactic. Like, it has to be like this. It has to be, you know, anyway. So that's why we're here to talk about it. And I think it does make sense that somebody who's doing so many things with her life isn't necessarily looking to make Pesach take the most time possible.
Exactly. And I am very into time management. My biggest pet peeve is wasting time. So this book is totally like in my MOA, you know, I mixed that up. Mode of operations. I've definitely just did that acronym wrong, but, no, I'm very happy that I was able to do it and to help people. And I, you know, it's funny. I do like to point out the proceeds from the book all do go to Tzedakah. They all go to NCSY, locally in Oregon. So, you know, just important. I didn't want people to know that when they, you know, if they do get the book and they do support, I actually don't keep any of the proceeds.
Wow. That's amazing. I want to just like start with the concept, because I think that right off the bat, you know, someone might think, well, if you're only making Pesach in 5 days, then that means you're like not really doing it. So one of the things that surprised me about this book was that you kind of are committing to 5 days of really intense work. It's not like you're saying, let's just peel this all the way down. You're saying, let's clear the deck. Is that right? And can you give us a little bit more about that?
And it's funny. We were debating what to call the book. And the suggestion was only stress for 5 days, because that is what the book is about, that there will be 5 days of stress, but why does it have to be a month of stress? And that's really what it is. It's like 5 days of, we're going to go, we're not like, we are, how you say, like, call your sister like before the 5 days and be like, I'll see you after pay. Like, we're not talking. There's 5 days. Like, I am literally doing one thing, and I'm not taking away any of the process, but I've seen so many women just like stressing for months ahead. It's funny. So I come from a family of like real yuckies. And when I called my mother and I said, oh, I'm writing this book, and she said, what do you mean? Like Pesach in 5 days. She's like, you know, our family, like we start Hanukkah. And I was like, I know, but that's called spring cleaning. And we're not, and if you want to do that, it's great. But you know, she was like horrified that there's even like a concept of not starting months before. But I hear so many women and like the stress of like Pesach's coming. Why? I honestly, now when people are like, oh, can you make Shabbos dinner? Can we have an event? Can we have a Shabbaton? I seriously will plan one the week before. I'm like, I am not starting until 5 days before. Like, it doesn't mean, again, there's a lot of prep in the book, and we'll do like the organizing and things on the spring cleaning before. So then the 5 days is smooth. But if you ask me to host a meal before, and the 5 days is, you know, we're not in the 5 days yet, I'm going to do it, because I'm committing to only stressing for 5 days.
This like ties in a lot. There's a sort of a technique that we use that I've talked about here on the podcast, and we use inside my community a lot, called planning versus execution. So we use it for Shabbos or like anytime like a big Yontif is coming up. And it's, the idea is like, do all of your prefrontal cortex planning on paper ahead of time or in a computer, and decide like down to the detail, like even like, when are you going to take your lunch break? When are you going to, like, what are you having for lunch? Like as much as you possibly can, take all the decisions out of it, so that then when you move into execution, you can just turn on the music and go. And I feel like this is very similar, meaning the 5 days is all execution of making Pesach, but the planning piece comes before, right?
Exactly. If you come into the 5 days and you haven't like bought a bottle of Windex and paper towels, or you haven't like, you're in the 3 days and you haven't even like bought cans of something, you know, you're going to have a problem. Yeah. So it's exactly, it's like the execution. You need to prepare it. So that's what I'm saying. It's a lie. How do we be stuck in 5 days? It's like a sham. Like you're not starting 5 days before, but the 5 days you're stressing for 5 days. Like you're not, yeah, you'll go to the store. You might buy some stuff. You might order. I did my meat order. You know what I'm saying? Like it doesn't mean you're literally waiting 5 days before to like think about going to the grocery store, but there is no reason that we are stressed enough. We have so much on our plate. Like why are we adding stress? Let's stress. And let's, again, we're going to, if you know, sometimes I'm not saying it's okay. Some of you might lose it or might like get upset with someone, children, people come in, right? Like, can you imagine if we're doing this for a month before? Like, it's not even fair. Like, again, of course we don't want to lose it ever. And we always want to like bring perfect meatos, but we're like getting upset like a month before Pesach.
Right.
Like,
right.
There's not even a reason for it.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And I feel like whether someone, you know, obviously if someone's listening to this and they're like, well, I love starting after Hanukkah and this is what works for me, we're not talking to you. Like, this is not meant to say that this is the right way to do it. But I love that you're just putting it on the spectrum of possibility so that if a person is like, oh my gosh, I only have 5 days, this is a disaster. Be like, wait a second, Miura does this like Badafka on purpose this way. This doesn't even need to be like a problem in the first place. We can do this. Yeah,
and you know, I have heard these people like, how do we make Pesach on one day? And I think that is really taking out a lot of like, we're going to do the minimum. This is not that. Like, I am not saying to skip on anything. You know, again, I personally, you know, there's certain, like, I don't move like necessarily our refrigerator, like whatever our robot, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't necessarily move every single, I'm not, that's just because that's not what, you know, we were told that we need to do, but I'm not cutting anything out. Like, if I'm not doing it, it's because luckily I was told I wasn't supposed to do that. But everything is on, like, I'm not cutting. The 5 days means we're doing everything the same way we would. You know, I wouldn't be same way in the book. I talk about windexing. When you can't reach certain areas, you Windex your Pogaine or whatever spray you want to use and you move on. Like, I wouldn't, even if this was a month before, it has nothing to do with I'm in a rush. Like, I am not making myself crazy. Like, if there is a crumb and a crack and I can't get it out, like, I don't buy toothbrushes. And do like, I wouldn't do that a month before either. Like, I don't think that's within, and everyone can ask their own rabbanim and they could ask their own things, but you know, I'm doing what's in, I believe that what we follow is the realm of halacha. I'm not cutting. So again, the 5 days in, like you said, we're not doing this in a way that like, oh, it's just 5 days. Cause you know, we're doing it as an express, whatever. It's not, we're just concentrating the stress. And again, if you've prepared before, if you've done the spring cleaning before, if I know what's in my kids' drawers, when I go into that room, I always talk about like the motion of like, it's like, you go in, you're like, close, lift them up, look down, put them down, you know, and you're just, you're going quickly because you've already spring cleaned. When you've already spring cleaned, that's all the muscle work. Everything's quick because you've done at a leisurely pace without stress. You're going through your kids' clothes. If your kids come in and they start, you know, fighting or doing, you just put the stuff down and you continue later because it's all without stress. The stress is only for 5 days. So everything done before, it's in preparation. So by the time you get to the 5 days, you're in your room and you're like, you went to the room and you're like, I already have seen this room. Right. I've already like decluttered if I wanted to. So the work is much, you know, it's much less. People will decide in my kitchen, do I want to, you know, some people are taping up everything and they buy these portable shelves outside and they just put like their Pesach stuff. If that works for them, and some people will say, I'm going to clean out some cabinets. And some people will say, I'm not going to clean out any, you know, and I do see in the book, if somebody here, you know, doesn't sell areas in their house and they have something like a garage, which is equal to a dumping grounds. For many people, that is something that, you know, that's a full project. Like if you need to, like, if you have a garage that is, or whatever it is, the storage or whatever it is in your house that is like a war zone. Yeah. Okay. And you are not selling that, then you need a little bit more time. Right. But if you're willing to like, you know, sell certain areas that are like just disaster, but within these 5 days is really going through making sure that in the house, there is no chametz. It's clean. And you come to the Seder with a nap. I talk about that. We come with a nap. We come, it's, you know, we are like, this is it. This is the most regal meal. We're coming like queens and we're showing up. And it can be that way. It doesn't have to be stressful where we're falling asleep sitting at the Seder. And like, you know, I hear some of, you know, women who are like, I don't know, I was half sleeping. I walked through this. I slept on the couch. I came back or I couldn't even make it. I went to sleep early. Like, this is the most important event of the year. Right. You can't fall asleep during the Seder. We're passing on our Masorah. We have to be up for this. So we need to schedule in time. We schedule in time for the nap. We schedule in time for everything. And it all gets done.
It's an interesting hack too, because I'm thinking about like the different times that I was getting ready for Pesach. And often I'll get like stuck in indecision of like, okay, like, I have this time set aside to get ready for Pesach, but like, I really can't totally start cleaning yet. Right. It's because like, then I'll probably have to go back and do it again, but like, maybe I should, or maybe I should be doing this. And I feel like this is what's really helpful is it really is like very, I think this is a very good book for like the more ADD type brain, because ADHDers like work really well under pressure. Like once that adrenaline starts going, and it's kind of saying like, we're just going to decide in advance that the cleaning part is going to just be like that. So instead of feeling shame and guilt that she's not cleaning all the way up until 5 days before, she's just using that energy to go and like make her menus and make sure she's stocked up on her groceries and figure out who she's inviting and double checking that she still has a crock pot from last year. Right. And then, cause especially knowing, and if someone's listening to this and they know they work better under pressure, you can decide in advance to do that and then own it and not have any shame over the fact that you work better under pressure. Just, you do need to leave yourself enough time to get it done, but 5 days is enough, I think, for most people in a house it's short enough that, you know, you are under pressure. So like, I'm thinking back to times where I would like wander into a bedroom and like spend an hour on like one dresser and then like look around and get so overwhelmed and confused and then just be like, oh my gosh, I can't do this. And my husband would like literally have to come in and he'd be like, we're just checking. And I'm telling you, I am somebody who has listened from the time I was a Kala to, you know, dust is not Chometz and your husband's not the carbon Pesach and your children are not the carbon Pesach. I know everyone loves to say that every year. And it's yes. And just because, you know, dust isn't Chometz doesn't mean it gives you the ability to just walk into a room and check for Chometz and stay totally focused on what you're doing.
It's and you so know, easy I wasn't, check. But I wasn't always this way. I was that person that cleans and then my kids brought in Cheerios and I had to do it again. Mm-hmm. I did that already. I did that also. It's not like I always started off in 5 days. I did not start off 5 days. I started off stressing. Yeah. But after like, it's like that again, like you just to the room and your kid comes in Cheerios. And of course, you know, unless you're like Moshe Rabbeinu, right? You probably lose it on some level. And then you have to do it again or some of it again. And then it's just so stressful.
Like time if for you that. Have, we don't have time for that.
We don't have time. I'm not doing things again. Remember, I hate wasting time. Right. I don't want to do things twice. That's for sure not. And that's what I used to do until I was like, you know, there's a better way.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I love this. I'm trying to think what can we give people? Let's just give people a little bit of like a mindset shift. So wherever they are in their process right now, I think that one thing that I'm taking from this conversation is if you haven't finished figuring out just the technical planning, maybe just stop and do that. Right. Yes, like make sure that that's wrapped up before you keep trying to like clean and then leave the plan to the last minute. And then you're going to have 5 runs to the grocery store.
The first thing I would say to do if you're at this point is like, just make a list of all the possible things you're going to need to get done. And, you know, you could use the book as an outline, but just, you know, think about it's buying new clothes or switching over clothes or tailoring or shotness or all the same possible things that come up. Mm-hmm. You might order them. You might even put them in the calendars. Like this, I could do then this, like, you know, this is for this Sunday, but like you're going to start Pesach cleaning and then your kids are going to come home with Purim candy.
Well, they're not going to hear this. This is going to come out after Purim. So by the time this one, you're right. If they're listening to it now, but I'm thinking, but by the time they come out, they're already feeling a little pressure here. Some of their friends, they're either have already started or they feel like everyone else has started.
Right. Okay. So number one, we're going to give a speech. It's not a race, right? Okay. So that's the first thing. I'm really happy that your neighbors are ahead of you. And I'm really happy that they tell you. I have a joke with my sister, by the way. We have this running joke that like every time it's Yantiv, I'll call her like, it'll be like Erev Pesach, you know, and we'll be like, oh, so then you finish? And she'll be like, I did. I had a little extra time. So like I made the cheesecakes for Shavuos, you know, and we're always like one-upping, like as a joke about like, oh yeah, I'm like I finished like the first day, you know, and we're always, oh, first day is like, I'm already on. So we're always doing it. It's not a race. It's just, we all know it's silly. We just have to tell ourselves, that's great. Like this person works, have a different job. You have more time on Sundays. They have a different type of family. Like we're just comparing ourselves and we're comparing apples to oranges. It's like literally not, it's so not helpful. Okay. It's not helpful. So if you're doing this, just stop because we all know it's not helpful. But now again, make a list of the things and commit yourself to not stressing. That's the point of this. It's not that it's not going to be work. It is, but commit yourself to not stress for more than you need to. Do the things you need to do before without stress. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get like mothers out there to, again, maybe yell at your kids a little bit less or just be a little bit happier, whatever it is that we're doing. Okay. And I'm just, let's just, people lose it. I know it happens. It happens to everybody. Let's just, why are we doing this to our families? It's not the mitzvah. So again, that's what I would say. I would say, take out your calendar. I prefer to use like a full monthly calendar. Okay. So I would even like print out a calendar. I love doing print. If you want to do computer, that's fine too. And you're literally just making a list of your 20 tasks. One of them is, you know, cooking. So you might put cooking in the 5 days before, unless you have a Pesach kitchen. Again, that's your own decision. So you're putting in, literally, you make a list of 20 items and you plug them in. So shopping. Okay. So you might go shopping on Sunday, this Sunday, and that's fine. And, but there might be four things that you didn't do because you didn't get them because your daughter's picky or because they didn't have the size or because 100 reasons. So then you might need to reschedule that, right? Whenever we have something that comes up, if we don't finish that job, we reschedule. So that Sunday might mean we put it in for Monday. We might do it online shopping or call someone or whatever we're going to do. We reschedule that task, but we lay it out and we see, oh, okay. So on Wednesday, I have to bring stuff to, I don't know, to get tailored. Okay, fine. Great. I still have to shoes. I didn't get shoes. I might even have a note on Thursday. I have time on Thursday. I think I'm going to order shoes. And just looking at it, when you have a visual of like, and it's like, oh, everything has a place. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to stress. But the main thing is that when you schedule something, same, by the way, I teach this a lot of my meetings to you know, to different women. This, the phone calendar, if you have one on your phone, depending on your, you know, own technical stuff of what you do. But if you do have a calendar on your phone and if you're using that, or, and you have alarms going off all the time, I'm constantly setting alarms, constantly setting meeting times. If I, that time passes and I couldn't follow up with this person, or I couldn't make that call, or I couldn't order the shoes, I'm rescheduling that. I cannot tell you how important this one thing is. Even if it's on your paper calendar, if you didn't finish the task, please put it in somewhere else, put it all in. And then you see like, oh, I have another 20 days. Okay, I have to shop one day, but like, it's not overwhelming. Then you see like, okay, so every day I have one task. One day is shoe shopping. One day is tailoring. You know, one day is buying the canned goods. One day is, it's fine. And by the way, and I also said, I've said this before, I 1 year wanted to buy the meat in advance or the chicken in advance, and I did not have my freezer cleaned yet, but I needed to get it in advance. I kid you not. I went and six times wrapped it in garbage bags and I put them in my freezer. I was like, cause I can't do this now. You know what I mean? But like, I also had to go shopping. I wrap it up in black garbage bags, like multiple times, like, you know, like as if two times is not enough, probably one time is enough, but okay. Like multiple times because Pesach and I'm crazy, fine. And I'll put it somewhere. And then when I'm ready to deal with it and when everything is clean, so I'm going to then start taking it out, but just do it, whatever works for you. You don't have to keep waiting and waiting. You could buy the stuff now and wrap it up. If it makes you feel better to have the stuff in your house, so do it. But the point is just don't stress for longer than you need to.
Yeah. Yeah. So the piece that I want to add to what you're saying here is because I'm hearing already the, you know, the objection of like, but I don't even have time for one more thing. I barely have time for, you know, so these 20 days where this is the shoe shopping day and this is that. And one of the things that I like to remind people is like, if there are decisions that need to be made to make these things happen, it's when you're scheduling it. So then make the decision also. Like, don't just stick it on days and say, this doesn't make any sense. I don't have any concept, any clue how this is going to happen. But like, but we're just going to pretend like I'm going to get the shoes done that day and I'm going to get the cans done this day. If you need an extra hour of babysitting so that you can run out and do the errand, plan that then, like as you're doing it, right? Put it down into your calendar in a way that enables it to actually happen.
You know what though? It's not really, when people say, oh, I can't even imagine doing this. Okay, fine. So if you're going to tell me that at the end of the day, you're not buying your kids clothing and you will just wear the same old clothes that you have, which is fine. But if you really, at the end of the day, going to get it done. So don't deny the fact that you are going to do it anyway. Like if you're telling me again, I'm not buying any suits that need tailoring. Okay, fine. I'm not buying anything that needs shotness checking. Okay, fine. But if you have something on your, it's not like you're going to say, I'm not buying any cans. Right. If you tell me now, I can't put cans on my schedule. I can't imagine that. Okay, fine. Are you going to go to Pesach without any cans? No. Okay. So you're going to find a time to do it. So like, let's just do it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, let's not pretend that these things are not going to happen. Like it's just worth it. Just put these things in. Again, I eat that. There's a book called Eat That Frog. I've never read the book, but I quote it all the time. Like you have to just kind of like do the things you don't want to do first and just get them done. And again, if it's someone else going in your family, it's giving your teenage daughter a shopping list, or your husband, or ordering from a store that delivers, or whatever that is that you need to get it done. But just saying like, I can't deal with it. Again, it's like, yeah, obviously it's not helpful, but you're going to end up at the end days before and you're like, oh wait, I want to go cooking. I don't have cans.
Right.
And then you're stuck.
Right. Listen, and I think that there's like a tendency to like wait until it's, and I'm not saying for everyone, but I've seen this, I've done this for sure personally, but I also have seen this with some of my clients. Like, we wait until we feel bad about asking for the extra help that we need. Right. So let's say I do need to go take out my kids, my girls, to go get an outfit. And like, I don't see where that's going to go. And like, I just have this like low level subconscious discomfort with saying, I really need your help. You know, like I don't reach out for help. I don't ask for it. So then we wait instead till it's like a disaster and I'm panicking and I'm freaking out. And then he's like, hey, whoa, what's wrong? And then we're like, well, I need to be getting the girls' clothes. I'm like, you know, who's supposed to be, no one's helping me. Instead of just like, we can preempt all that, right? We don't have to go to that place. There was a really interesting article recently that Cal Newport wrote for the New York Times, where he was talking about how thought workers, basically when they did a self-evaluation, they were all taking on about 20% too much work. But all of these people decide when they say no. Like, there's always more work that they could take on. And they're the ones that decide like when their workload is full. So he's saying like, is it possible that people only start saying no once they're already overwhelmed? Like, what if we just started saying no a little bit before we were overwhelmed, or even once we are overwhelmed?
My husband always says, like, I walk a fine line between being completely overwhelmed and totally bored. So it's like a very hard, like, you know, when you make that decision. But, you know, but also I want people to ask themselves, like, how's that been serving you? So what you've done in the past is you just, you know, you don't want to ask for help, and then you get overwhelmed because no one's helping you, and then you probably lose it at someone and you start crying. So how's that been serving you? You want to continue? It's fine. If you want to continue like that, if that feels healthy and good and that's something you don't mind, then great. But if that hasn't been working, unless you do something different, nothing will change.
Yeah.
So unless you commit, again, maybe it's just your husband or just your daughter, it's sitting down and making a family meeting. Okay. I don't know what it is for you, but unless you do something different, that's right. Albert Einstein's definition of insanity. You're expecting different results with the same behavior.
Yeah.
You need to do something different if you want things to change. If you've been not asking for help and it hasn't been working and you're not managing. So great. Are you really a superhero? Does anyone think, wow, she's amazing? You're not managing. So what are people thinking? They're thinking, wow, she's so amazing, she's not managing. They're thinking, well, she doesn't ever act together. That's not what they're thinking. You are the person that, you know, you're capable, and we all need help in certain areas. It's not a weakness after help. It's actually acknowledging the fact that we work better as a team. I actually ran a workshop recently. It's called, based on, I don't know if you're familiar with Patrick Lencioni. He has a lot of different books, but he has something called the working genius model. And he talks about how in order to get work done, this is actually really relevant. In order to get work done, there's six types of work that are involved in every project. There's someone, he actually has an acronym called WIDGET, where someone is the wonderer. He's the person that, or she's the person that's thinking like, it's gotta be a better way. Like, why are we doing it like this? What, you know, and the inventor is the person who's like, wow, I have a much better way. The discerner is like, I don't know if that's such a good idea. Like, that sounds really optimistic, but it's not realistic. Okay. Then we have the galvanizer who's like, come on, let's do this. We can get it going. We have the enabler who just helps and is like, I'll do whatever you say, whatever you need. I'm a team player. And then there's the someone with tenacity who just like gets the job done. And in each of these, every area of work, you kind of need all these different people. And it's amazing. They have a test online. You could see where you are, but it's fascinating. And he actually says that him and his wife would actually, none of them had this gift of tenacity, which is the person that finishes the job. Mm. And one day he didn't realize it until he came home and their electricity had been shut off because nobody wanted to pay the bills because it was like an annoying job that like someone just had to take care of.
Yeah.
And he said, like, now that we were aware of like what our strengths were, we knew who to hire. Like, yeah. I didn't need to hire someone to think, you know, be the person that's innovative. He's like, I'm innovative. I didn't need the person who's going to get everyone excited. Like, my wife could get everyone excited, but there was no one that wanted to like do the details.
Yeah.
And unless you know that, you think like, I'm just incapable. Like, I'm just a loser. Like, I can't do everything. Why are some people seem like they could do every single thing? Not what it is. It's that they might have strengths that look, they might be the person that gets the job finished. Right. So if someone might, I'm the type of person, I'm the person that I'm the finisher. but I'm missing a lot of skills in the beginning. Mm-hmm. So I'm so busy finishing that I'll do things just to do things. And sometimes I'm doing things that don't even make sense because I didn't even think about the steps in the beginning, but I'm just a doer. Right. I get things done. That's really nice, but it's not necessarily efficient and it's not necessarily helpful. But the person in the beginning who's like thinking about things and taking the time and processing, they're going to do things intentionally. They're going to have a hard time getting it done. But the two of us, we work together. So if you know the people in your family and you think about who's the person that's just like the chip in at any moment, ready to help, you're going to call in that person during that 5 days. Like, I need your help, right? Like the person who's like the innovative thinker, like you're going to start getting up to help. You know, those people, they after one peel, they peel one potatoes. They're like out to lunch and they're sitting around and you're like,
or they're like, I have oh my gosh, I just thought of this dessert that we should make. It's such a good idea. Let's go to the store right now.
That's a good idea. Especially with teenage girls. Like, mommy, are you going to help? I mean, like a 7-layer. You're like, after it took like 7 hours after you woke up at like 11:30. Thank you so much. And you're just like, I just need the person who's going to peel 50 pounds of potatoes. Right. But like, we're looking to the people that don't have these, we call them geniuses. And, you know, and instead there might be their frustrations that we're asking them to do the jobs that aren't right for them. And instead of everyone knowing where they contribute, we're looking at other people and saying, wow, that person looks like they have it all together. It could be they have it all together, but it could be they're just utilizing everyone's strengths. So like, look at the people in your family, look at the people you have and say like, who is the kid that is like the one that just helps, right? That person, let's save them. Let's save them somewhere in that 5 days. Who's the person that's like the creative, whatever, good. A month before they could start making like Pesach placemats, okay, that nobody needs, right? Like, let them do that before. Like, that's their genius. Let them spend the time. Let them do the Pesach shopping. Let them do go clothes shopping, okay? Like, let them do these things. If you have an older daughter who's like super creative, whatever, maybe if you want, they can make a dessert that's super, but like, give it to them like in the right time, instead of feeling frustrated that like, you just want them to peel potatoes and they're busy. Like, I want to like arrange the entire theme table, you know, like the tablescape. And you're like, our potatoes are not peeled. So you have a choice right now. Either you're just like frustrated with that child and then like, they are so not helpful, which they're not, or you could be like, they are helpful in certain things and let's use them
in the wrong place.
Yes. And instead of being frustrated.
Yeah. So I always give this example because this comes up a ton in marriage, right? Like you're giving the example of the children, but what happens so often is like, whatever our strength is, we take that as a given that's like, oh, people just are good at finishing things or people just are good at thinking, you know, whatever the thing is. And then when our husband isn't good at the exact same thing, we're like, well, he's defective. This is so annoying. And totally. We keep trying to get him to do the same thing as if that's baseline. But what you're saying, I love so much, is to say like, it's not baseline, whatever it is that you're good at. Just because you're good at it doesn't mean that that's like a normal human way of functioning. That means that's your strength. And if you're so busy waiting, I always say like, imagine Bill Gates is starting his new company. Is he going to go look for a clone of himself that has all the exact same strengths as him? No, he's going to look for someone who complements him. So if you're always looking at your husband and comparing to what you're good at, you're just going to be missing so much. And like, it would be such a waste if the two of you were just completely identical anyway. Right. So you just miss them. So I love this example here too.
Yeah. And the whole thing with marriage is like, you're working to appreciate what the other person brings to the table. And especially just at the time of Pesach cleaning, when everything is super stressful, right? And you just want someone like who's going to like peel potatoes and then they're busy, you know, I don't know, maybe they are helping clean the car or maybe they're not. But instead of being frustrated, appreciating, you know, for when they bring, but again, it's utilizing the people. Instead of being frustrated that you're, you know, again, certain kids or your spouse is like good at certain things, just what they are good for, let them help in that way. Because they're not changing anyway. So let's appreciate what they bring to the table.
This is like parenting, but this is everything. I love this. And also puts the you know, the mom, the wife in the headspace of being an intentional manager of her home, which is a very empowering place to be. Right. Like, it's not like, oh, I accept that my husband's not good at that. Like, okay, fine. I've accepted him. Like, that feels so yucky. And we like, we resist that naturally. And we should, because it's not, doesn't feel good. That's not a good way of approaching it. But if I'm saying like, no, I'm enlightened now. My ears be back enlightened me. Now I understand how to look at people and look at my home and look at my wife, my husband and my children. That's a very empowering place to be. Like, I'm thinking smart about my family.
Exactly. Like, why would you want to look at someone and say they're not like me? That's not the goal. And you know what? You don't want them to look at you like that. right? So if my husband's more of the innovator, whatever, and he's like, oh, she's just so, I don't, you know, we don't want that. Because if he wanted me to be like him and I wanted him to be like me, that just would be obviously not helpful.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Amazing. And can you give us, you've talked about the importance of the nap. I think that was really critical. Any other things that we want to keep in mind? So let's say during those last 5 days or however many days we give to the like real execution of making Pesach.
I think it's just really setting your eye on the goal. Your goal is, you know, again, to get to Pesach. So that means you might have your list. You know, I talk a lot about repeating, by the way. I remember the year that I was like, one second, the second Seder, we're in Galus. Okay. It's the same menu now. I like, why am I doing this? Like, we have the same menu. No one eats at the Seder. I mean, people eat, but like nobody's interested in like the food. It's like 1 a.m. I have the same menu for both the Seders. And if I'm cooking and I want to make this many potato kugels, this many this, and that, I want you to think about what's important. Yes. So the Seder should be nice. Yes, it should. Does that mean that you should be like falling apart at the expense of it? No. The goal is that you come to the Seder with a smile and, you know, just like, again, with your family happy. And I speak a lot. I do actually parenting classes. I have a class, how to parent at the Seder. And I actually have people like practice smiling as their kids spill grape juice on them. Mm-hmm. Like, you just bought your outfit and it's, I don't know why you bought white, but maybe it's white and, or their white shirt, right? Cause for sure their white shirt, like it's all red by the end, but like you're sitting there and they're just spilling and they're fighting at the Seder and you are trying to impart like this is the most important meal of the year. Like we're so happy to be here. Okay. You're exhausted. They're spilling on you. One kid's crying, they're fighting. And like your husband, you're trying to like, and he's giving you the eye of like, can you please deal with the kids so I can like run the Seder?
In the middle
like,
of my divorce.
Yeah, like, could you like, you get the look, you know, the look of like, not the look of death, but like hurry up, you know what I'm saying? And you get this look and you're just like, I don't even care. You literally need to practice smiling. Cause like this is, it, honestly, what you're giving over right now is the most important thing you could give over to your kids, the entire of everything. Of like, we are Am Yisrael, we've taken out Mitzrayim. This is the message that we need to give our kids. And if you only give one message over the night, and if you don't look like you're happy to be there, if you look like you'd rather be in bed. So that's a real, real chaval. So I want you to just take a look when you're preparing, you're feeling, there are days you're going to feel like a shmata. It is really hard. Even during the 5 days, there are, by the end of the day, I'm like, I can't stand. Like I'm delirious. Like, I don't even know how many like kugels and whatever I've made. Even if I'm organized, even if I'm on task, it's really hard. But your goal is that you finish cooking, you finish cleaning, you come to the Seder like a mensch. And I don't care if you're faking it, fake it till you make it, that you are excited to be at the Seder. And no matter what, you're going to make a choice. I actually just got back last night at 11:30 at night. I get back from Eretz Yisrael. I took teens to check out seminaries and yeshivas. Okay. So I'm on this trip and I didn't sleep. I'm back on Portland time, and which is 10 hours because I was so off schedule that it didn't even matter. Okay. So everything, but I'm sitting there and like, I can't tell you. And then the flight got this and delayed. And it took me from the time I left my house, 38 hours. Okay. To get there at Stroll. That's not, but I told, and people said, oh, well, you're so positive. I'm like, I'm not a positive person, by the way, just by nature. And I said, I made a choice that no matter what was going to happen, I was going to smile. Because it wasn't about like the journey really is about where we're going, what we're trying to accomplish. And no matter what happened, we had this incident here and this here, and then they had a negative experience here and this person negative. Guys, come on, everything's positive. Every challenge is an opportunity. And I made a choice. I want you to make a choice. I want you to choose that this Seder experience is going to be amazing. I don't care if you're faking it. You're going to set yourself positive. You're going to make sure you have a nice outfit. You're going to make sure you nap. But keep it in mind again, when it's like that last thing, I should make that extra dessert and you're falling, you're going to say no to that dessert. Not just because I know I shouldn't, it's too much. Because the number one priority is that you show up to the Seder and you are rested and you are so happy to be there and you have the patience to deal with every annoying thing that will definitely happen at the Seder. Yes. Like you're buying an outfit literally to wear for 3 hours. And then for Shavuot, like I'm saying, like, you know, like, this is it. Like, you're not gonna, and that's what you're doing. And that's the right thing.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. Thank you so much. This is exactly what we need at this time of year. And so I'm just so grateful that you made, it was not easy for you to make time to come on here. So I really appreciate it.
Thank you. So it was a pleasure. Really.
Thank you.